We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Previously on Gresh and Keith.
No, you no, put it on the no. toilet and you try to poop through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I told you not to ask.
This is Gresh and Keith.
So I have a torn labrum in my hip. Surgery. I'm going to do surgery. I just don't know what the exact date is. Probably within a month. Probably be looking at January or February return to hockey. I'm not going to play for anybody else than the Bruins.
Andy Gresh.
We'll figure that out, but hopefully we can make something work. That's obviously my goal, and like I said, hopefully we can make that happen. It's about, you know, more of a fit for me than, you know, maybe money or, you know, long-term thing.
Rich Keith.
Major League Baseball bought the rights to Raleigh. Now they have the rights and the capability of accessing the manufacture of the baseball. That's something to think about.
Gresh and Keefe starts right now.
I'm a bear.
Money.
Money.
On WEEI.
Oh, yeah. Money, bears, everything's going to be tied into this Friday edition of Gresh and Keefe here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com. Chuka has spoken. Two U's, two K's, two hips, one broken.
I would have to imagine now the blame shifts from Tuca and even a little bit of Grizzlick, how bad he was. But that's still on Grizzlick. Let's not forget that. Grizzlick was horrible.
That's right.
Bruce Cassidy, what are you doing? How do you play a goalie in an elimination game after you pulled him the game before? He has a torn labrum, needs hip surgery, which will put him out about 8 months. And you're like, yeah, let's trot him out there for game six. Horrible decision. We knew he was hurt. We guessed yesterday if it's this, if it's that. And we even said, if it's something, we said, I believe, quote, you can pull it. If it's something like a hip, he shouldn't have played. Torn labrum in my hip. Shouldn't have played. Should not have played.
Dude, Tuca. The guy doesn't. He's got no guts. He doesn't play hurt. He doesn't steal games. Now he shouldn't have been in there.
He's gonna steal
now
you a game.
Everybody's going to turn around and go, this is
he's
it.
He's not going to steal what? You a game.
But listen, are you wrong? Nope.
I'm not
however,
wrong. I'm not
what's,
wrong.
However, what's interesting is A, he was the best option in terms of their trust, but isn't this now the ultimate Tuca conundrum for some people?
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Because Lord knows, in this city, injury, if you play through injury, you're God. Brady, you know, Patrice Bergeron collapsed long. Oh, Tuca.
Oh, don't get me wrong.
Dude, the coach is an idiot now for putting in the injured goalie, even though everybody else in this town we would build statues for playing with a hangnail.
Well, not if they lose, though.
Well, apparently that's the
thing.
That's
you
the
can't say
right?
that. You got to win. You got to. We got to. So if you win,
so there's
when you're hurt.
No right. There's no credit for it, right? If you're hurt, if you're injured and you lose, then you still suck in the minds of the fans. I'm in part prodding because there are going to be, like, some of the Tuca people who I think really want to crank on him are now going to have a harder time because we talked about it.
Yeah.
Are you hurt or are you injured? The guy was injured.
Right, and still played.
And that's where someone had to pull the jersey off of him. You had to pull him out of net.
Bruce Cassidy needed to not start Tuca Rask.
But why do you think they did?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Stubbornness? I don't know. Or because he fooled them enough in the Washington series, like, well, he must be healthy. Yeah, but the wear and tear, and Bruce even mentioned maintenance in Game 5, and they've played a lot of games in a row. Now, I know they weren't back-to-backs, but he didn't play that many games in a row all season long.
Right.
And probably needed a little bit more of a break. And we're like, yeah, if you're healthy, you don't need the break. If you're healthy, you're good every other day. It's the playoffs. It's fine. You can go out there and do that. But for a guy with a torn labrum in his hip, no, he needed more time. he wasn't going to be fresh. And you could see in the Islanders series, all right, things are kind of falling apart a little bit. So why he didn't play, I don't know. Or why he did play, Wiggy suggested maybe he wasn't confident in Swayman. I would think that you would be confident in Swayman, more so than any of the other recent backups that Tuukka Rask has had over the last several years. But I definitely put the blame on Cassidy here. Because, again, we had kind of known Tuukka was trying to tell you without coming all the way out and telling you what he was dealing with. You could tell it was something pretty significant, though. Because everybody's kind of hurt. Every single guy on both teams is kind of hurt.
Are you playing injured or are you hurt? There's a lot of hurts. Yes. There's a lot of guys who need 2 weeks to heal muscle pulls or injuries or bone bruises and stuff.
They all have something.
This, though, like, this how many, you got to come out and say that. And, in fact, for those who missed it, here is Tuukka talking about his injury.
So I have a torn labrum in my hip, probably going to do surgery. I'm going to do surgery. I just don't know what the exact date is, probably within a month. Start the recovery process, and then we'll see what the future holds after that. Hopefully recovery goes well, and I'd be ready to play hockey at some point next year.
Yeah, I mean, Tuukka Rask, because of his history, was damned if he did, damned if he didn't.
Right.
If he didn't play, he'd be like, once again, not available.
Right.
If he does play and they lose, it's, oh, he couldn't steal you a game. He couldn't do that. The only chance he had in the minds of so many is to win the cup. Mm-hmm. That was it. That was it, because they would have kept moving the goalposts. Let's say they sweep the Islanders, and Tuukka's still hurt, but they sweep the Islanders, and they move on to the next round.
Yep.
And then they lose to the Lightning, and you find out that he needed or they lose to the Vegas Golden Knights in the cup final, and you find out that he needed a torn labrum surgery. He'd still get crapped on by a lot of people for not winning the cup.
And like
that's it.
That's the hard part of all of this for Tuukka Rask, quite honestly, is you said it, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because, again, it's funny, one of the texters said, the only guy who, maybe Curt Schilling was the only one who got hurt and didn't get universal love, but that's for such of...
He did at the time, though.
Yeah, at the time, that's right.
My God,
when
was he loved
proved
that.
To be whatever he was, yes. And the people of the state of Rhode Island are cringing right now because of all the $73 million in taxpayers' money that kind of went out the window. But yes, that's where I do feel for Tuukka Rask, because it won't be, hey man, that guy gave it all. It's, oh,
no.
He gave us everything he had, and they still didn't win, even though there were a bunch of defensemen hurt and things like that. Yeah. That's the tough part of it. Tuukka did talk about, do you want to keep playing? And he was asked about his contract. And you will get that in about 30 seconds, because right now, hey, maybe you need surgery, need some money.
Another typical cash giveaway. Here's this hour's code word on WEEI.
This hour's code word is draft. Text draft to 72881. That's 72881 now for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Message and data rates apply. Don't text and drive. Three more chances for you to win $1,000 here today with Gresh and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Our three T's you can contribute: Twitch, Twitter, text. That's all the ways you can contribute. We will get to them at the end of the show. So Tuukka talked about the injury and then was asked about, do you want to play next year?
Yes. Hopefully. I mean, I do. Mentally, I'm up for that. And then the physical aspect, hopefully everything goes well, like I said. And then, we'll probably be looking at January or February return to hockey. So that's kind of the plan. And hopefully it works out.
So this was, as we discussed, one of those you're not going to make it worse kind of injuries. Because it sounds like unless he got the surgery 2 months ago and they completely shut him down to accelerate the timeline.
Right.
It was going to be one of those deals where, all right, you can't hurt yourself anymore. It is what it is. And you're going to be back in January or February.
Yeah.
Boy, does that change some things for Don Sweeney and the Bruins. And the first thing it does is it changes the price point. Because now, whatever you're paying Tuukka, whatever that number will be, because we've got Tuukka talking about his contract coming up, it's really, you're now paying him to rehab, is really what it comes down to.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it changes the number to zero. Like you say, that's it. Thank you for your time. Sorry we didn't win here with you.
So off of this, you're moving on from Tuukka.
Because I was kind of on the fence about bringing him back and what's the role going to be next year anyway. And I thought a Tuukka at a reduced price in Swayman was the way to go. But the more you think about it, if you are going to make some major changes on this roster, just like last year, you moved on from Chara and Krug. Mm-hmm. You didn't trade them. They were both free agents, and they were just gone. And that kind of shook up the core a little bit. You made some signings. You made some trades during the season. But I think if you want to turn it over to Swayman, what, you're going to have him be the number one goalie for 2 or 3 months? What if he plays really, really well? They're like, all right, Tuukka's back. Well, now what? Tuukka's the number one.
Get some games in Providence and then be the backup for the playoffs.
Yeah, no thanks. give me Swayman the whole way. Swayman and another veteran backup who will be cheaper than Tuukka Rask. So I think for me, the Tuukka Rask era is over.
Okay. If Don Sweeney feels the same way, that's bad news for Tuukka Rask if we take him at his word.
No, like I said before, I'm not going to play for anybody else than the Bruins. This is our home. You know, we have three kids. Kids enjoy here. They have friends in school. We have friends at this point in my life and career. I don't see any reason to go anywhere else, especially, you know, with the health I'm looking at now, like recovery time, 5 to 6 months. So hopefully it works out that I recover well, and then we can talk about contracts when time is right for that.
And you know what? Hold on. You know what that sound was?
What was that?
That was Don Sweeney getting blood flow right now.
Gross.
Because,
come on.
Because he's got, now he's got a guy that I think he wants back.
You think he wants him back?
Oh, I do. I absolutely do. If they were stubborn enough to play the guy with a torn labrum in his hip.
Right.
They're going to, especially now. Are you kidding me?
But you just lost in the second round. Like, you need to make changes.
You did.
You need to make changes.
But you know what you're going to do? You're going to get the guy on value. And I mean, like, Belichick-type value. This is throw $2 million his way to be able to have him tied up. And then whenever he's ready, you deal with the issue then. I think it's about that asset acquisition. And this is one of those we want to keep the guy. He just negotiated against himself and saying, hey, I want to stay
here.
It's
a classic hockey player thing.
It really
is. They don't negotiate very well. This isn't the NBA or the NFL with these guys. Or even baseball. Like, this is kind of the opposite.
Right?
Yeah, no, you got guys like Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak all playing for way less than they should. Tuukka, we're going to get to Taylor Hall's comments. Like, these guys are talking themselves into worse contracts. But, no, I mean, I think it's time for a change. And I think, and I'm not a Tuukka hater by any stretch. As you know, throughout the playoffs, I was defending him against a lot of people that said he could never win. I just think it's time to make that change. If you didn't have Jeremy Swayman in the pipeline, if we didn't get a chance to see him, maybe my thoughts would be a lot different. But you do. You have him. I am ready for him to take over. I don't need Tuukka there looming, rehabbing for a few months, and then coming back. And then what? I feel like at that point, Bruce Cassidy would be like, well, he's our number one, right? And even if he's making less than he did this year, he's making a lot more than Swayman.
See, that's where I think the difference is. The number one, I think if they do bring him back, the price point, like at $7 million, he is your number one goalie. And that does, I think, in some way, sort of seep into the mindset of management. If it's, well, we got this guy on, you know, basically he's got the Euro Halak $2 million or whatever it is.
Yeah, but does Tuukka want to be a backup?
Well, and that's the thing. I don't think Tuukka has a choice this year.
Well,
No, he could walk away.
Right.
And I said yesterday he's going to walk. Now you hear him say that he wants to play. But I mean, in terms of, he's not even going to remotely be ready until January or February. So by proxy, that almost determines that he isn't the number one goalie because
he
knows the
back,
team has to move on.
Yeah, but when he comes back, he could easily just take over.
But the rules of engagement are different. And look, we might know if Swayman has completely pulled like a magic act on us.
Oh, there's a chance that, you know, what we saw was a short sample and he falls apart. There is that chance, obviously.
We've
seen other teams go to young goalies and it has not worked out.
So it comes down to, would you rather have, in some way, because you're still going to have a backup, and I don't know if they go with Swayman and Vladar, or do they try to bring Halak back on, you know, some sort of reduced number, or there's, you know, the next Anton Khudobin that they go find, bring in cheap, and then he can leave in a year.
Yeah, you can get a guy with experience.
But I think with Tuukka, even he is kind of acknowledging the whole, you know, I'll be back in January and February, and then we'll kind of see what happens. And it's,
no,
I don't think
they need to prepare. They need to plan like they don't have him.
I don't think he's. Oh, now that I agree,
yeah.
But if he's going to be amenable to,
if he's cheap enough, you take
cheap money. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Sit on him, because if you think about from a trade deadline standpoint, say they go with Swayman, right, and there's no Tuukka in the mix. If he stinks, what are you going to be doing at the trade deadline? You're going to be looking for a goalie.
Well, maybe. So I mean, depending on who your other guy is that you pair him with. Because I just think Tuukka has a different aura around here than all these other guys would. And especially if you're keeping Bergeron and you're keeping Marchand, all these guys who have won so many games with Tuca, that if Swayman has a couple of bad games in March, they're going to be like, we got Tuca over here. Put Tuca in. Get rid of Swayman. Forget Swayman. Put Tuca in.
And would that be maybe the worst thing if the Swayman is hitting some bumps in the road, considering it looks like they're going to keep the core together?
Well, it just seems like it'd be more of the same. I think they need to do more of a shakeup, because I think for a while, moving on from Krug and Chara looked like the right decision. You're going to have to pay Krug a lot of money, and Chara was going to take time from some of these young guys and a chance to develop. And I know people got all up in arms, like, oh, you could have used them in the playoffs. It's like, all right, well, at some point you needed to move on. Their penalty kill, for the most part, during the regular season was really good. Their power play was good. So they didn't really miss those guys. And I think it's time. And I think the injury just kind of solidifies it for me. Like, it's time to move on from Rask and let it be the Swayman era. And when Tuca says he's definitely not going to play anywhere, okay, did you think Chara was going to play somewhere else? Did you even think, and I know he played somewhere before he got here, but Sean Thornton, who's Tuca's best friend, mm-hmm. was another one of these guys that loved the city. The city loved him. He was the ultimate Bruin. Everybody loved him. I think he might even still have a place here. He played 3 years in Florida after playing in Boston. Now he works for the Panthers.
Right.
So, I mean, guys can say one thing. They can say they want to play for one team forever, but if the Bruins offer nothing and another team offers them, you know, somewhere decent, I wouldn't be shocked if he played somewhere
else. Well, see, that's the thing. Who's going to offer this guy decent money now, knowing that he has to have the surgery?
Right.
Like, he would have to wait until 2022 free agency, I think, to grab something like that. Then there is Taylor Hall, who, again, you know, the blood flow for Don Sweeney, it is at maximum peak right now after Taylor Hall said this earlier today.
I don't even know what my value is at this point. I feel like I had two different seasons. But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not looking to absolutely maximize my value at this point in my career. I've been fortunate enough to make some good money in this league. And at this point, it's about, you know, more of a fit for me than, you know, maybe money or, you know, a long-term thing. I just want to, you want to find a home for the next few years here. And like I said, we'll see what happens.
Because I'm all about value. Awesome.
Oh, I mean, awesome. Again, if you're Don Sweeney,
best news
right?
Ever. Like, seriously? Oh, you're going to be free? You're a free guy coming back? Like, I love
it. Well, you're going to. Let's not go Larry. Let's hope they don't take the Larry Lucchino approach to those comments from
Taylor.
Well,
no, they don't need to offer him the minimum, but I think you don't have to offer him more than anybody on that top line, and all those guys are a steal right now.
3 for $15
in
$5 million a year.
Sounds like everybody might be in on that.
I think he would be, right?
I would love it, yeah.
That is not unreasonable.
No.
Given the way he played. Now maybe they try to go shorter and do 2 years or whatever, and that's the quibbling that but
it is the benefit,
$5 million, yeah. Sounds right.
It is the benefit of a really good individual player who has played for a bunch of teams, including a bunch of bad teams. Like it takes of that experience for him to go, all right, I'll play for a little bit less. If I'm actually enjoying myself and if I'm actually, you know, being productive on the ice, that's worth more to me than like a few more extra bucks.
Yeah, he's been whack-a-mole around the NHL enough to where
terrible.
It's like, hey, I can make some dough and actually play for a halfway decent right. organization that at least has an idea how yeah. to win, which the guy has never dealt with.
Right.
And I know that people didn't like his playoff run, and it wasn't the greatest run in hockey history, don't get me wrong,
no, but
he's done enough yeah. to warrant staying here at least another year or two.
And I just think if you look at the list of free agents, or if you look at the list of, let's say, possible trades, you're still going to have the same issue with that second line.
Yep.
So if you don't bring back Taylor Hall, you sure as hell can't elevate any of the guys from the third line like Coyle or DeBrusque. That's asking for a disaster. And then I think these other guys, if they are Taylor Hall's skill, they're going to cost more. They just are, because they haven't been beaten down by all these bad teams like Taylor Hall has, or they haven't experienced a 20-30 game run with the team and kind of gotten used to the city. Apparently that was, you know, another comment, like he and his girlfriend love Boston. Like, okay, great. Like, good Lord, sign this guy today.
Absolutely.
So I am all in on Taylor Hall comments.
Could you take the 7 of Tuca and get Tuca and Hall both back? Say Hall for 5 and Tuca for 2.
You might.
Now you're cooking with gas, and then you put Tuca on the shelf, and there you go.
I would not sign Tuca, and I would use that money for a defenseman.
And it seems like Tuca does want to play. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
I thought it might have been, yeah, I'm done. Why am I going to go through this? But, you know, let the team also pay for that surgery and get yourself rehabbed as well. That's another,
that's what he's hoping for.
Yeah, that's another part of it. Hey, over at Fenway Park last night, Lord knows we talked about how the Red Sox couldn't score. Holy crap. 12-8, the final. Red Sox beat the Astros.
Everybody getting in on it.
Mid-sixth inning, it's 8-8, and I think it was about 10:30 at night. It's like, oh, my God, this is it's like a Red Sox-Yankees game.
Yeah.
But during this game, I think in that fateful sixth inning, we had a streaker, kind of. Dude runs on the field, waving the shirt. Here's the breakdown from Joe and Will on the WEI Red Sox Radio Network.
Martinez at third, Bogarts at second, Renfro at first. Two down in a tie game just in the sixth. It's 8-8 the pitch. Check swing at a curveball. He did go around. Maldonado blocked that with some part of his body to keep it in front.
Here comes. Here you go.
And it's on one. We got a streaker. Being chased by security. This is dangerous. He's going towards Paredes. He's got to come down. He does. That was really kind of scary. He got way too close to the players. I don't know why Maldonado didn't try to intervene, as it is a great job by the Fenway security.
Great open field tackle.
It was. I mean, that guy should never be allowed in Fenway Park ever again.
Well, he'll spend a night in jail for sure. Already got the cuffs.
He ripped his shirt off, was waving it high above his head, and running rather menacingly towards Paredes. That'll rattle him. The fans are applauding the security staff. That's just a joke. He should be banned.
Probably
from...
did it on a dare, and he's well-oiled. Moronic move.
But he was within, don't you think, a foot of Paredes? He was just kind of standing between the mound and the plate. And that's got to really rattle him. Alex is going out and saying to the umpire, let him play catch if he wants to. That's a classy move. He's saying to Maldonado, does he want to throw a couple? Martin says, we're okay.
The guy is drunk.
I mean, Will needs to lighten up. Did Will have a bad day or something?
Menacing. What is the guy? He's like creeping that up guy. On like the hamburger?
That's just a joke.
Now he's throwing the guy in prison. I mean, Joe was loving it. Joe's like, great open field tackle.
Great open field tackle.
How many streakers has Joe seen in his career? Gotta be.
I would love.
Hundreds.
I mean, you hundreds. Would think,
how many games
right?
he's done? Will had no time for it. I was really surprised by that.
I am too.
He was having a real bad day.
We're gonna
that
have...
guy should never be allowed in Fenway Park ever again.
And how think... could he tell that the guy was menacing? He was running around with... He was like doing the soccer thing, waving the... Like, come on, he's waving a t-shirt in the
drunk
air.
Drunk guy in the field, menacing.
Right?
It's not like he's standing there with like a scream mask on, like the creepy, like in the outfield.
He's not reaching into his waistband.
He ripped his shirt off, was waving it high above his head.
Yeah, baby! All right, it's Friday.
Now, listen, it's not an original idea, but there is something about a streaker. I think it's a very pure act of a drunk fan. Is it not?
Well, he wasn't buck naked. He was only top naked.
I think you need to go all the way.
I agree.
If you're going to do it, do it.
Right.
With anything, right? Don't half-ass anything, whole-ass one thing.
Because
you got to get out there.
Because like they said, he's going to the clink, so take it all off.
Take it all off. Get your money's worth.
Oh, yeah.
Run around out there. Run the bases if you want.
I mean, imagine the like the local sports guys. Imagine like Dan Roach. Well, we're going to pixelate part of this because we don't want you to see this guy's unit.
Yeah. Yeah, but Will was just really not having it.
That was great.
Man.
That guy should never be allowed in Fenway Park ever again.
We got a new nickname, Principal Will Fleming. Go to my office. Unbelievable.
I love Joe with the oiled up line.
Joe's loving it. Joe's talking about the open field tackle. He's having a great time.
Now, I wonder how many football games Joe has done.
Great open field tackle.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how many football games he's done. He went right into the... And by the way, whomever the security guard was, hawked him from like down the third baseline and really like got him. It was a perfect form
tackle. These guys live for that, don't you think? Like, that's their moment to shine.
So.
Because especially when I'm in, it's not a threatening situation, right?
At least you hope not.
I know Will thinks it is. No, but I mean, 99%.
And running rather menacingly towards Paredes.
No, menacing were those two guys in Chicago that beat up the first base coach,
right? Hit him from behind
and stuff. That was insane. But these drunk streakers that run out there, I think most of these security guards are just waiting. They're just scanning, and then they're going to go out there and, you know, Terry Tate, office linebacker, some drunk guy. they're praying for.
Shime, have you ever tackled a streaker at a baseball game or anything like that? I figure that you've been like a great eighth grade football player. Your pony league stats are amazing.
But I can tell you that if I did, I'd have great form.
Yep. That's it. Wrap up. Drive through.
Shime would be the guy that makes Sports Center. The dude would be running around.
Back in 82.
He'd be running around.
I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Shime would be chasing them all around. Great. Oh, man. That was good stuff. Well, the Red Sox, good stuff. They won 12-8. Yeah. They avoid being swept by those dog-ass cheating Astros.
Another beauty by Eduardo Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Guy gave up a six-pack.
Yeah.
He's a mess.
He's a mess right now. Right.
Should never be allowed in Fenway Park ever again.
Might
All
be.
Right. Calm down.
It's a little
Fleming.
Much, but still.
You're out as a family, Will.
I can't I can't wait till Wednesday now. I want to tell
Oh,
I wanna,
yeah. Seriously.
I need to find. That's like the first question.
See if
the
he's in a better mood. Man.
Wonder if he has like an incident from his past.
I bet he has a horrible streaking story.
There's got to be something,
yeah,
right?
Going up through the quad, through the gymnasium.
Yeah,
nobody was with him.
He was in Oklahoma City one night in the PCL, and some redneck ran out there and did something. You're exactly right. We got a lot of Patriots to get to as well. You heard from Tuukka Rask. We gave you our thoughts on Tuukka. You can get yours in via the three T's, the Twitch chat, WEEI.com/watch, on Twitter at Gresh Keefe, and via the text 37937. Here is professional streaker tackler Chris Schein with trending.
We're back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
What has your mindset been like this week with Cam out? What's the mindset as you look to make the most of this opportunity, maybe with a little more action?
It doesn't really change. I mean, for me, it's just about me getting better, and it's not being selfish or anything, but I have a lot of room to grow, and I have to, you know, make strides every day and kind of have two buckets where, you know, the things I know keep in one bucket, and the things that I keep messing up or the things I'm not getting, I have to put them in another bucket and figure out what's wrong. So I just kind of got to take that approach and learn from, you know, all the quarterbacks. So it's not just me, and learn from the older guys on the team and watch them practice and learn how to practice the best way I can so that when we get to the games, it'll be easier.
That is not an original analogy from Mac Jones. I first heard that bucket reference in 91.
Did you really? I got to get a couple of buckets now.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good idea.
Different buckets than you. Yeah.
There's stuff I know, stuff I don't know.
That's right. There's one. There's the knowledge bucket, and then there's the learning bucket. That's what I was taught way back in the day coaches that I hope I never see again.
That's a real football thing, isn't
it? Yeah, very much so. It's much more of like a hardo. That's like he learned that from Saban. That's a...
Oh, for sure. That's day one stuff with Saban.
And with Bill?
And Bill's probably like, yeah, it's the best.
Bill, which bucket do I put it in?
Yeah, you don't know anything about it, so put it in that one.
It's like Don Sweeney here in Taylor Hall be like, I don't know my value. The eyes roll in the back of your head. It's so orgasmic.
And then, you know, Bill's like, the bucket that you don't know is a lot bigger than the one you do, right?
That's right.
And then they laugh about it.
Better get a bigger bucket, kid, because you don't know a lot. Right. Yeah, that whole deal. Well, that was Mac Jones, and I mentioned yesterday that the Patriots got high during OTAs because I thought Dante Hightower was done. He was going to become the cryptid. He was just going to go walk in the woods, and people were like, this guy ain't coming. Dante Hightower at OTAs yesterday and looked good.
Yeah, he looked good. Leaner. A little bit leaner.
That's
we haven't seen him in a whole year. Really, to me, still the only big loss from all the opt-outs. I know how a lot of people love to say, they had more players than anybody else. They had eight players. Like, they had Dante Hightower. He was a stud. They missed him last year desperately because they didn't have any linebackers.
How dare you besmirch the good GD name of Dan Vitale.
Who, by the way, retired on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn
was his announcement. Did you guys see that? He retired on LinkedIn.
Do you even do that?
Well, I don't know. Apparently, you can go. I mean, we all have LinkedIn, I think.
It's like Facebook.
Yeah, you can.
I set my status to retired.
Seriously?
No, he had like a little write up, and people were like talking about it. Like, he retired on LinkedIn. Anyway, but Hightower coming back. No, I never thought he wasn't. There was some rumors that he might just stay retired.
Right.
Not ask for more money necessarily, but just be like, you know what? I had a good career, you know, more longer than the average, won a bunch of Super Bowls. I'm just going to move on. But you're like, man, they could use him. Because if we think this defense can be a top five defense with all the additions, well, one of those additions is Hightower.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen him in 2 years. So, yeah, he was back. Because you never know. Guys might have real legitimate reasons to not be there. Others are like Aaron Rodgers and having a hissy fit. Others are dealing with family or contract or whatever. Like,
well,
you don't
Nate
know.
Solder with the Giants is in that spot because he, of course, had beat cancer. His son is sick as well. He opted out last year, and I do believe he did come back, but even he said, hey, it made me. I think his line was, I didn't realize there was other things going on in the fall other than football.
Right. So, I mean, so some guys feel that. They're like, you know what? That's just going to do it. Well, Patrick Chung. I mean, Patrick Chung is a good example. Like, all right.
Sure.
Okay, I'm just going to, that's it for me. But obviously great news to see Hightower out there.
Massive news, I do believe, because that's a guy who's going to be able to teach a lot of people. You know, I love it that Hightower's back because I do think he's going to be able to help the transition with Matt Judon. Because I still think that a guy like Judon is going to be much more of that kind of almost stand-up sort of defensive end. Here's what I envision with Matt Judon. John Simon, get out. Matt Judon, get in. That's the role.
Because
John Simon couldn't hold the edge. No, he couldn't deal with the run game. Judon will be okay. And it, oh, God.
Your
that
guy. Yeah.
Dog chasing cars. And apparently, Josh Uche is having a hell of an OTAs. And you get Hightower back. So that is, and that's a leader. That's a guy
who
people can listen to on that defense. With all due respect to Juwan Bentley, who I think did as good a job as he could have, having the responsibility of the green dot. They put him in spots that he really shouldn't be in, like in coverage and things like that. Now that goes away with Hightower in the fold.
And there's three guys that when it comes to Patriots versus Tom Brady in week four, there's three guys specifically on defense that I'm fascinated to watch go up against Brady because they know him so well. And it's McCourty, Hightower, and Gilmore.
Yeah.
Like those three guys, you want them all in the field. You want them all at 100%. And just to see, do they know any tricks? They practice against him so much. They've seen every game he's played. Like that's going to be sort of the game within the game. When that comes.
That's why Jalen Mills is wearing number two. This part of the confusion.
Who's this guy? Right? Who is this guy? A punter?
Brady and his whole number game that he's got to deprogram himself to reprogram himself and make the adjustments. We know that Mac Jones is taking the reps at quarterback. Now, next Monday, there is practice today, as I back up for a second. There is practice today. It's not open to the media. And then on Monday is the non-voluntary portion of the old OTA. So basically, you have mini camp coming up next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. By the way, the Houston Texans banged out their mini camp.
They don't know what they're doing. They're a mess. They're like, is Deshaun Watson on the team still? He's not going to come, so we're not even going to have any.
It's amazing.
That's a good team. They don't need any practice, that
right,
team.
Right, with a new head coach? I mean, why don't they just put the sign up that says, we're tanking this year?
They're like, we're already scouting college football next year. See, they're an absolute disaster. But, you know, I have no problem. Good for them.
Uche is apparently impressing, according to the media people down at camp. And I think that's, I crank it on Winovich, but in all reality, Uche and Winovich may end up being one of those tough roster decisions at some point. Because when you look at, if you really write down.
You think so?
Well, I do just from the standpoint of, and look, I don't think they're going to get rid of him, don't get me wrong.
Oh, but like a trade or something.
But if you start to look at how the roster construction, and we kind of did sort of a loose version of this.
Yeah.
Now that Hightower's back, there's got to be someone in that position group maybe who might be a little vulnerable. And if Uche is really taking the leap that people thought Winovich was going to take a couple years ago, it might be one of those deals where it's like, okay, we like this guy, but he hasn't grown and we don't have room for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because last year, just zero linebackers. None. You didn't have any. And now this year you have, I wouldn't say too many, but it's a great problem to have.
Like, but isn't that the other thing, too? And doesn't the signing of Judon sort of tell you that they're putting those two guys on notice a little bit? Because if you think about it, again, John Simon, nice player, apparently a really good guy, whatever. That it's time to move on from that dude.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if they were completely happy with Winovich and Uche, it makes me wonder if they would have signed Judon anyway. And I think that's probably a big indicator of what might be going on. Hey, don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter, at Gresh Keefe, at Keefe21 to get rich, at The Real Gresh for me. And when I say at Keefe21, it's so you can get a hold of Rich Keefe. You don't get rich by sending something to that Twitter.
Has not happened yet, but worth a shot. You know, you never know.
You never know. You might wake up one day.
It could be a giveaway.
Feel froggy.
Yeah, I might just give away some money.
The Dork Podcast $1 million giveaway.
Right.
When you get to a million YouTube subscribers, you give away $1 million for the Dork Pod.
You know what? Sure.
Why not? Davey's got it somewhere.
Yeah, he's got a stash.
Lord knows
somewhere.
He's got nothing else going on. He's breaking Bruins labrum news.
He was upset. Oh, yeah, he called that, didn't he?
He did. He
oh,
did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I went with the sports hernia, and he had the old torn labrum. So good job there, Davey Eyeballs. Mm. If you like trash talk, you're going to love a snippet from yesterday's UFC 263 press conference. And Floyd Money Mayweather made how much for his fight against Jake Paul? Get ready to puke next.
Or Crash and Keith right now on WEEI.
Regression Keep. We'll get back into the Bruins coming up here at the top of the hour. Next hour, you got a chance to win $1,000. Then we got Red Sox tickets in the noon, so don't you dare go anywhere. You know, your phone is like a radio. You download the Odyssey app, go to WEEI.com. Hell, you can watch the show. You can listen to the show. You can get it all right there on your phone. Super duper easy. Want to take a stab, Rich Keefe, at how much money Floyd Money Mayweather made last weekend in his farce of a fight with Jake Paul. Now, let me at least give
It's going to disgust me, the amount of money.
It is, but let me just say this. Apparently, they sold 1 million pay-per-views.
Oh, my God. 1 million people bought that?
That is the report now.
1 million people bought that.
Supposedly 1 million. Now, I stole it. I mean, I'm sorry. I found it on Twitch.
But if 1 million people paid for it, I mean, how many pay-per-views throughout the year? And there are UFC, there are a handful of boxing ones that are probably worth it to some people, and wrestling, right? Those are the three big pay-per-view type things. And how many of them get over 1 million? I feel like it's just McGregor fights, right? Like 1 million's a lot.
1 million is a lot. I'm going to Tapology right now. Let's see here.
I feel like it's McGregor. Maybe when Brock Lesnar was involved, there's a few one-offs in the UFC that probably hit that. Maybe like WrestleMania.
Mayweather Pacquiao did 4.6. Mayweather McGregor did 4.3 million.
Yeah, that's you're combining two box office guys there.
Yeah, UFC 229, which was Khabib against McGregor, did 2.4 million.
Okay,
buys.
And
then if you go down like Diaz, you got McGregor.
It's all McGregor.
Diaz, Usman Masvidal did 1.3 million. That's the first non-McGregor or non-Mayweather pay-per-view.
So my point is there's a big UFC event this Saturday. It won't do 1 million. It won't.
I think it will. I do.
Oh,
you know why? Two championship fights. Yeah, it'll do. It'll do. And they threw Nate Diaz on there.
I love Nate Diaz.
Nate Diaz, you know what he was doing at the press conference? And we're about to hear some audio for that. Ripping a blunt from his own marijuana brand. And then basically looked at the other fighters and was like, yo, you want some? There's an awesome photo out there on Twitter of Dana White standing at the podium, and they did it in black and white. And it's shot from behind where Diaz is, and all you see is the weed smoke the air. It's unbelievable.
Wait, so are you allowed to smoke and fight now?
They don't care about the weed. The weed.
But that's why Matt Riddle got booted out of there.
Well,
what happened? They changed the rules?
Well, now UFC's making money. They're different ownership, Rich.
All these guys have like these fights that are ruled no contest because of weed. Matt Riddle would have been. Anyway.
Yeah, but Matt Riddle would have been awesome, but Dana White ran him out. But here's the thing.
But anyway,
Nate Diaz is big box office. That's why they're going to go over 1 million. So Money Mayweather.
Yeah.
How much?
$10 million.
Keep going.
More than $10 million. $20 million.
Keep going.
Oh, my God. For a little exhibition bout with Logan Paul, $30 million?
A little more.
$35 million.
And Jake Paul, by the way, got $5
million. I mean, that's still pretty good. Didn't get hurt. Got to say somehow he didn't Mayweather. Get hurt. That's the thing. He didn't get hurt at all. I mean, even if you got hurt for $5 million, it'd be worth it.
Yeah, that is true.
But he didn't even get hurt.
It's like, would you take a punch from Mike Tyson for $1 million? Yes, I would. Oh, you kidding me? Crack me right in the jaw. See you later. For $1 million?
Does he have a glove on or is it bare knucks?
Ooh, good question. Bare knucks, $2 million. Glove on, $1 million.
Sold.
I'm going to be like Zach Galifianakis in Hangover.
How much long-term damage do you think Tyson would cause me if he just punched me?
It depends. If he went for the knockout shot, I think he'd go for the jaw.
I think I'd be messed
and
up.
And you'd have to try to clinch and hope it don't break.
I think you'd shatter your, I don't know.
It'd be something.
$1 million.
Well, this UFC 263 anyway. Coming up tomorrow night.
Yeah.
The co-main event is for the flyweight championship with Davison Figueiredo, the champion, against Brandon Moreno. Now, I'm going to sell you on Brandon Moreno.
All right. Yep.
Davison Figueiredo, there's lots of photos of him with like AK-47s and stuff.
Okay.
Brandon Moreno has bragged about how he builds Legos and has a whole thing of Pokemon behind him on his Zoom.
My guy.
Sean, there you go. You got to
And their first fight was an absolute battle.
Okay.
Oh, it was so all good right. to watch. So you got Nate Diaz is the third best fight on there. Then the flyweights. Then the main event. Israel Adesanya is middleweight champ. He is going to fight Marvin Vettori from Italy. Now, Izzy Adesanya might be the best trash talker other than Conor McGregor in MMA.
Hmm.
And at the press conference yesterday, it got a little unruly.
Oh, boy.
And
oh boy.
The last 3 seconds of this, I think you're going to love, because Dana White almost like steals the show. You talk about going out on a high note. Here you go. So these are the two guys in the main event of the UFC coming up tomorrow night, bickering at each other, and then it goes from there.
Who have you beat? Whittaker, tell me, yeah, who have Whittaker you beat? Name 3 top 10 opponents you've beat. Name.
Listen, I showed up every
exactly.
single
you ain't got
I showed up every
I
single
can tell who I beat. All you know who I
fight with me, that ain't my fault.
Hey, man,
man.
It's your fault.
Whoever that showed
it's
up,
because you don't run your own
whoever
career.
Whoever showed up,
I run your career. I'm the narrative in your career. I run your
you tried to ignore me, bitch. You tried to ignore me. Here I am.
I never...
Nightmare, bitch.
Look at me.
I'm your
try
nightmare.
Try me now, bitch. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Try it again. Try me again. Look at him. You know what that's called? That's called roid rage. That's called roid rage. Try me again. That ain't caffeine. That's roid rage, bitch.
Thank you, Arizona. We appreciate it. I'm gonna square these guys off right now.
Well, he's putting night jail for sure.
Thank you, Arizona. Good night from Arizona. He just got the hell out of there, and
it seemed a little worse. I thought you said the one guy was a good trash talker.
Adesanya.
What happened there?
Well, when he gave
Who'd
him
you
the
beat?
When
Who'd
he gave
you
him the, yeah, and then he caused Marvin Vettori to get up, lose his mind, throw his glasses. Dana White had to stop him because Vettori wanted to try to jump over him a little bit.
Yeah,
and
Adesanya
was the whole. Like this the whole time.
Just
looking
right
at just staring at
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
Like it didn't even bother him. Oh, and apparently I got one of the Paul brothers wrong. Sorry, texters. I didn't know it was the end of the world.
I know,
for
it doesn't matter. I think it was Logan Paul. Wasn't
whichever
it doesn't matter.
Whichever Rube. Well, apparently to the texters, you know, we gotta get to
tell the texters to follow better social media stars.
Get checked there, apparently. But it's gonna be, you know what, it'll be interesting to see how many. I think it will go over 1 million. Just in part because they threw 2 big fights on
and
there.
Diaz.
And Diaz. Yeah. That's a big one. And McGregor, like, I'm going to that one, but you got to figure that's going to be 2 million.
That one will be. Yeah, McGregor, I think it's fair to say those are always the biggest ones of the year.
A Rousey and Holm, I think, got to like 1.3
Maybe.
Million. I think that was the biggest
yeah,
in terms
yeah.
of the women's division. Mm. Good stuff there. We head into the 11 o'clock hour with Tuukka Rask. If you didn't hear Tuukka talking about his injury, you'll hear that. And should he have been in net for the playoffs? That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.